Yes to Life show, a show all about cancer and in particular about integrative medicine for cancer, a broad-ranging approach that combines conventional medicine and complementary and alternative medicine to improve results and quality of life. I'm Robin Daly, the founder of the UK charity Yes to Life, which I set up to support people who want to take an integrative approach to their treatment. This week, I'm looking into the potential of nucleotide supplements in supporting people through cancer. At this point, research has not been carried out to demonstrate effectiveness in this field, but the early indications are that nucleotides could prove to be very helpful, so I want to find out more. I'm speaking today to three experts. Firstly, I'm talking over Skype with Peter Kerpel and Rachel Hoyle. Hello, Peter and Rachel, and many thanks for taking the time today to tell us about your work with nucleotides.
Thank you very much.
So I think it's likely that today's talk is going to get a bit technical at times. So as I'm a non-technician myself, and for the benefit of any non-technical listeners, I'm going to want to take it a bit slowly and make sure that any technical terms are clearly explained. So I hope you'll bear with me. It's an important topic, so I think you'll appreciate
it.
Great. I hope you'll appreciate it. I want to be sure that we get the most from it. So you've both been involved in research and development of nucleotide supplements for several decades, I understand. There's a plethora of supplements out there these days, very many of them claiming to be foundational to and essential for good health. And most of our listeners will not, I suspect, however, have heard about nucleotides. Maybe you could start off by making a case for them and telling us what they are and why you think they're important.
Yeah, I suppose both of us can answer this question. In fact, we both work together, as you said, for a couple of decades at least, looking at nucleotides and their supplementation, both in animals and humans now. And what we have found is that nucleotides can particularly support immune health and digestive health. And we can go into the reasons why that is, but all stems from the fact that nucleotides are the basic building blocks to DNA and RNA, so all new cells need these molecules created, and nucleotides are building blocks to those, the DNA and RNA.
So I wonder if you could both now give us a little sort of mini personal biography describing what led you to work with nucleotides in the first place and what you think you've achieved in this field to date. So maybe, Peter, you could start us off.
Okay. I am a biochemist. I studied in Zurich at the university. Then I was working short in Basel in a small pharmaceutical industry where we have worked quite a lot with osteoporosis and osteoarthritis. And we have then founded with some colleagues a company called DMA Biomedicals. It's a new start, but we have built our labs in a building of the Chemoforma. And Chemoforma at the time worked with some extract of yeast. Mm-hmm. And when we came here there in contact with them, we took it over and we were going more in details and started with animals to produce, for animals to produce nucleotides for animal feeding. And we found out that it is very helpful, as Rachel mentioned before, for the whole immune system and the whole absorption of nutrients because the gut function was better. And our aim there was mostly to replace replace antibiotics in the feed. So this is still our goal and we are still working on it, that we could lower the in-feed and use of antibiotics. But we have then seen also that a lot of effects could be directly transferred to the human field. Mm-hmm. And in 2003, we founded a company, ProBio, in which we started to produce nucleotides for human consumption. And since then, we are working together with with Rachel Hoyle from Nucleotide Nutrition. And we tested most of our product in UK. We have done trials with cold and flu. We have done trials with athletes, with Professor McNaughton. And finally, we did a test with also IBS. In the progress of the work, we started to make different products. So we have a product which is called in UK NuCell, and another product which is called Intestate. And NuCell is really designed from the composition so that it helps the immune system and also helps to overcome stresses. Whereas the Intestate is designed for intestinal health. We have seen that the villi are better developed. We have a differentiation in the gut flora. So mostly we see an increase of bifidobacteria. This means the whole intestinal health was improved. And in the meantime, we started to sell our product in UK, in Switzerland, Germany, USA, South Africa. So we are in really in a big expansion of our products.
Right. And how about you, Rachel? How did you come across nucleotides, and what made you want to work in this field?
Okay, well, I stumbled on them, really. My first job back in the late 80s was to working for a company that traded in ingredients, natural products, as well as some minerals. And they were looking for new products. And they were also wanting to find gaps in the market to bring new products into. So my job, my first job after leaving university, having done a science degree, was to research certain markets and then find products to go into them. I was looking for a product for the animal feed industry, which and I noticed there was a lot of people were looking for the replacement for the antibiotic growth promoters, so they wanted a natural replacer.
Mm-hmm.
And I then researched different countries and companies that were offering natural products and that were working in this field. And I came across Peter's company in Switzerland. And we had a look at what they had to offer in terms of these yeast-derived nutrients. And we were impressed with the work that they'd done already. And the company I work for decided that they would invest a little money in doing some basic research here in the UK. And what we found was that the products did indeed support the immunity and the growth of young animals in particular. It just started from there, basically. My colleague, who I worked with at the time, and I decided that we wanted to go full-time into this particular area of supplementation, so we set up our own company. That was in the mid-90s, and we have since then done a huge range of research with Peter's company, and started, as he said, doing our clinical research with humans, not animals, and although we all are, we're all animals, really.
Right.
And we were so lucky. I'll just finish on this. We were so lucky. We managed to get some UK government grants to do our initial clinical trials, and that really helped.
That must have been enormously helpful.
Work on
yeah.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Great. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I want to get an idea now about the reasons that you would say that supplementation is needed. I mean, why would somebody become depleted of nucleotides, and what symptoms, if any, might they be suffering from that would let you know they were suffering from a depleted level of nucleotides?
There's been some really useful dietary surveys conducted by DEFRA, which is the Ministry of Agriculture and Food. They, since 1974 until 2014, have done food surveys. And what they, one of the things that they found was that the quantity of offal meats eaten in 1974 compared with 2014 has drastically reduced. I mean, going down over 90%.
Wow.
And indeed, if you went back to post-war, it would be even more. I mean, back in 1974, we were eating around about 36 grams of liver, whereas now we're down to about 5 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that Peter's company has done, and he'll tell you all about it, is that they've done their own food studies, and what they found is that particularly offal type meats are particularly high in nucleotide content. And so therefore, you know, if diets reduce in the quantities of these high nucleotide containing foods, then the overall diet is likely to reduce quite drastically in nucleotide content. And obviously the nutrients have a specific purpose, and the main purpose of nucleotides in the diet are to help support the proliferation of immune cells and also the gut lining cells. So this would be one reasons why the requirement for nucleotide supplementation has increased over the years. And I'm sure Peter would be happy to tell you more about the food studies that they've done there in their laboratories.
Obviously, these meat sources are obviously a fantastic source of nucleotides, as well as many other things, and they were always seen as kind of especially nutritious foods, and a huge decline in the importance that's given to them now. Are there other sources of nucleotides?
We have established a very good method to analyze the nucleotide content in different food, and we tested not only meat, we tested also fruits, we tested bread, we tested vegetables,
yes.
And we found mostly everywhere where you have a very quick cell modification, you find quite a high amount of nucleotides. I mean, the highest cell turnover in the body you have in the gut, and therefore there you have the highest amount of nucleotides. Liver, for example, also has a high turnover, but for example, plant cells are extremely low in nucleotides, and also fruits they are extremely low. But we can say sometimes when you have a yeast which is well made, and it depends when it is harvested, can have between 5% and 10% on the dry matter nucleotides. So still not extremely high. And something which is quite important to know, that the uptake of nucleotides when it is within a cell, also in food or in yeast, when it is in a cell, the uptake is only about 10% of the whole content. This means when we eat something, a big part, the highest part is lost from the body.
Yes.
And that was also the reason why we started not just a yeast, but we extracted the nucleotides and make it, let's say, brought it in a form which is easy to absorb in the body. And our absorption is about, I would say, about 80 to 90%. Mm. We have seen quite a drastic differentiation, other differences between the different food ingredients. And this is really something which we have to be considered, because in the need of nucleotides is also for humans, depending on the stress level or activity level, let's say. And so stress, for example, and this can be a really big variety of conditions. Can be emotional stress, it can be activity stress, it can be diseases, the need for nucleotides goes up exponentially. Because when you have, for example, a cold flu or an infection, about 60% of energy and nutrients goes into the immune system. It means that then you need extremely high amount of nucleotides. And now something which is extremely important, most of the cell in the body can produce nucleotides themselves, but the production is limited. But the cells coming out of the bone marrow, this means immune cell and red blood cells, are not able to produce the nucleotides. They are depending from the production of the liver. And in certain diseases, the liver function is going down. This means under situation where the highest need is for the body, the bone production is still less.
I see. And so do you have any kind of figures that compare people who have radically different diets, i.e. Are vegetarians or vegans likely to be more deficient than people who eat meat?
Yeah, that is for sure. Because when you look just on the content of the nucleotides in their food, is extremely low. Is really extremely low.
There are a few other foodstuffs that have some reasonable levels of nucleotides. And interestingly enough, broccoli is quite good.
Right.
Also cauliflower. Also cauliflower.
Hmm.
Cauliflower is something lower than broccoli, but broccoli is really a good source for that.
The other thing is mushrooms.
All right.
Yeah.
So does this aspect account for any of the... I mean, mushrooms are well known for their immune boosting and are used, different kinds of mushrooms are used by lots of people with cancer in order to support their immune systems. Is the nucleotide content one of the reasons they're so good?
Well, that is difficult to say. It's surely one of the reasons. If it is the most important reason, I don't know, really. But because sometimes they have also these, on the surface of the cells, they have these beta-glucans, which can then also lead to a stimulation of the immune system. Therefore, most probably they have a dual function, so higher nucleotides and also an immune stimulating function. Because the nucleotides themselves, they are not immune stimulating. It's just a fuel for the cell to multiply and also to produce proteins.
Right. Okay, well look, we've already referred quite often to the effect of these nucleotides on the immune system. Well, the immune system, of course, is something that people with cancer think about a lot. Well, particularly people who are interested in integrative medicine and cancer. And the Yes to Life show is all about cancer. So this is what's really primarily led me to want to talk to you today. Could you maybe go into a bit more the particular aspects of nucleotide supplementation that makes it something that you might say people with cancer should consider seriously?
Okay, this is, we have clearly to say we are not a cancer treatment.
Sure.
And we are also not using it in cancer treatment at the moment.
Sure.
We are in research there, but what we can say, for example, after, chemotherapy, then because the immunity is so damaged that we recommend nucleotides to restore the whole immune system and to help to overcome the side effects of the chemotherapy. In a case of irradiation, also there we can even combine it with the irradiation because we have seen that the side effects of the irradiation is smaller.
Right. So that's a very obvious place for anything, obviously, that will support your immune system has to be good when one of the unwanted side effects of treatment is the suppression of the immune system. So, anything that can help people is obviously a good thing.
We have to be clear, we have to be aware that a lot of chemotherapeutic drugs are, changed nucleotides. Also, they are nucleotides which have a design so that it cannot be included in a DNA or RNA. So this helps them to stop the cell multiplication of all new developing cells. And when we come with the nucleotides which can be incorporated in the DNA, we would then act against these drugs.
Right.
Yes, this is what Peter's saying is that whilst the chemotherapy is taking place, that the supplements are probably not suitable.
After
the actual treatments take place, the supplements are most suitable for the restoration of the and support of the immune system.
It is something very important to know. Also, there are new studies, absolutely new studies, showing that cancer develops from a pre-cancer status. And in this case, nucleotides are absolutely needed because they have the studies which was done by Bester and Al. This is a group in America and in Israel, have shown that the lack of nucleotides can lead to DNA damage and finally to cancer.
Mm.
We are going more in prevention, and this was also done by Dr. Burrell et al. And they also have seen it in cancer, mostly in the intestine. This was in the UK's London Research Institute. It was done.
Hmm. All right. Well, this is something I did note in some of the material I looked at. Very interesting that it could be seen as a prevention strategy. So this is something you think might be considered for people who are at high risk, for people generally, or for people who have a particular dietary situation. Who would you think this is appropriate for?
Yeah, in my opinion, it's more or less for everybody, because at the moment, when we look on our lifestyle, we think we are all in a little bit in a deficit of nucleotides, because the nucleotides are considered as conditionally essential nutrients. This means under certain condition, nucleotides can be essential. And I think we are now with our lifestyle in such a situation. But mostly for those who are, let's say, have a genetic predisposition for cancer, or you have a very stressful lifestyle, or people with diseases, our product is really very helpful to overcome, let's say, to avoid that it gets in a situation where it's extremely bad for the body.
So it's a good antidote to some modern styles of living. If you are exposed to stress or poor sleep or whatever, then this could be a good thing in order to keep yourself in good health.
Yeah.
Okay. And presumably, I mean, also there are stages of cancers which would be considered precancerous, so they're not malignant at that point, but they're the kind of situations that turn malignant with a little prompting. So presumably this again would be a good case for this kind of supplementation.
Yeah, exactly. Also, this is what these studies all showed. And I think it is a lot of research going on in this direction at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, obviously, what you're saying is that nucleotides actually benefit cells, healthy cells. Supplementing with them provides them with a benefit. How can you be sure that these same benefits are not bestowed on cancer cells? What is the thing that separates the one from the other?
There are studies showing that, for example, the uptake of cancer cells of nutrients, and mostly nucleotides, is different if it is a cancer cell or it is a differentiated cell as a body cell. This means the cancer cell can less take up nutrients, also nucleotides, from the circulating blood, whereas body cells like immune cells can easily take it up. Then the cancer cell, they have a special key enzyme which help them to cover their needs for their own production. So they don't need so much nucleotides as, for example, body cells. Mm. So we have two ways. First of all, we have a higher production in the cancer cell, but and a lower uptake from outside. This means cancer cells are more able to produce their needed nucleotides themselves. And the supplementation will therefore less affect the cancer cell, but very much affect the immune cell.
Mm. Yeah, cancer cells are more self-sufficient for this type of nutrient.
Mm, that's interesting. On the terms you used there, you talked about differentiation. Just to be clear, could you just explain what you mean by differentiated cells, well-differentiated cells, as opposed to undifferentiated?
Yeah, you see, a body cell has always, they can develop in a certain direction. For example, a liver cell cannot go to be a lung cell. And this means they are fully differentiated, can no more change in another direction. Whereas a cancer cell still have the ability to invade certain organs and everywhere settle. So they are much more undifferentiated. So they are not an end state. They are the ability to, first of all, to multiply very quick, whereas without control. Whereas when you have a differentiated cell, these cells are no more multiplying. They are just there. Let's say a liver cell is no more multiplying. They are not able to fully divide and multiply again.
Okay, great. All right, so look, could we now look at the evidence that's been built up so far? It's obviously a fairly new area, but there is a certain amount of evidence. And can we just go over it in a little bit of detail and just hear a bit about what has been actually shown to be the case directly and what type of studies they were just so we can get a sense of where the science is at this point.
Yeah, I mean, we can go back to our first set of clinical trials, which is probably a good place to start, mm-hmm. with the formulations that Peter designed. The first trials we did down at Bath University in their sports science team was looking at stressed situations, and these were sportsmen who put themselves under high intensity exercise stresses or moderate endurance stresses, and what they found was that with the supplementation that included the nucleotides compared with the placebo, that the sportsmen had a much reduced build-up of stress hormone cortisol, and at the same time had a much better preserved immune status. And they measured this by taking samples of saliva and measuring the IgA immunoglobulin status, and so they found that there were higher levels compared with the placebo. So this showed that the sportsmen were able to cope with the stress of the exercise that they were put under better than those who were on the placebo. At the same time, we did another trial with this grant money. This was up in Edinburgh with, it was a colds and flu study. And they also found when the nucleotides were supplemented that there was a support of the immune status looking at the IgA levels, but also they found that they were able to reduce the symptoms of colds. So all these students who were in the trial actually developed colds naturally, and they joined the trial when they had these symptoms. They were tested to make sure they had a virus. And then they went onto the trial either having the nucleotide supplement or the placebo, and they found that those who took the supplement had significantly reduced sinus pain and also earache, and interestingly enough they also had a much better return to the taste. So both of those sort of immune studies showed, one, that you, when you have a problem, that you can reduce the impact of it in terms of an infection, and in the other one where you impose a stress on the body, you can reduce the markers of stress, so you can blunt the effects of the stress and keep the immune status at a higher level.
All right, well, relating both of those to cancer, I mean, stress and cancer, they go together like a horse and carriage, unavoidable, really. And so anything that can stop the stress from further reducing your immune system or suppressing it, then that has to be a good thing, I'm sure. And, of course, infections are also a part of the journey, because so many of the mainstream treatments are immune suppressant. And so people inevitably pick up all sorts of bugs in between treatments. So those both point towards useful features of nucleotides in those situations.
Good, and we have since done some further studies, one very recently published in America, looking at, again, it's using sportsmen, because it's much, when you're a natural supplement, so you have to be very aware of your products and how they're used, and it's easy to run a study where it's a sports environment. And in this particular study, they looked at the imposing a resistance stress, and again the impact on the stress hormone cortisol was replicated.
Can you just to be clear, what would a resistance stress look like?
It was a type of gym stress with weights.
Oh, I see.
And then what they do is they measure the peak force. So they're using weights in a particular way of actually exercising with them to induce stress, and they measure the peak force of that stress. And what they found was that those who'd taken the our nucleotide supplement, after going through this high resistance stress exercise, when they measured the peak force over the next few hours and days, they found that the recovery was much quicker in the athletes that had taken the supplement, and the peak force measurement actually didn't drop, whereas for the placebo they suffered a recovery issues, and it took a matter of a couple of days for them to get back up to the same level of peak force. So they also measured the marker for cortisol and the immune status, and they found that one of the reasons why the nucleotide supplement athletes recovered so well was that the cortisol increases were much lower compared with the placebo. So there was less damage from the exercise.
So again, resilience is something that definitely are people who are looking at cancer treatment in an integrative way is a kind of target that they would aim for, is to become as resilient as possible, not only to deal with the disease, but also with the treatment.
Yeah, I mean, this impact would have effect on various groups of people, and I can imagine it would be beneficial for such people.
Okay, any other signs?
Yeah, something which is quite interesting, because when you look on how nucleotides were discovered, also the, for example, mother milk is very high in nucleotides.
Okay.
Whereas, and afterwards, when we compare this with, let's say, the normal food we have, we are much lower. And everything what is in the mother milk is really, really important for life. And this is also something which we have seen in different trials and tests. For me, it's very important to say that we are not a treatment, we are prevention more. So we have some, let's say, drastic effects on diseases. For example, cold and flu is something which you can nearly avoid. So when we take enough nucleotides, I have never a cold since 25 years.
All right.
So it's really something which you can use as a prevention. And I think just also in cancer development, we are really interested to prevent cancer to develop.
Definitely.
Because prevention is always better as cure.
For sure. Okay, and are there other pieces of research that are of interest?
Yeah, another grant that we managed to get was to conduct a trial with IBS participants.
Yeah, irritable bowel syndrome.
Yeah, we did this with Professor Dancy, who was professor at the University of East London, and she works in the area, or used to work in the area of chronic disease. She has since retired. And they had, it was a lovely trial because it was a crossover trial. So all of the participants, and there was around about 40, had periods of being on the supplementation, but also periods when they were on the placebo. And all of them were diagnosed with IBS. They were allowed to continue any of the treatments or supplementation that they were already on. So actually taking the nucleotide supplementation, and they used the product in test aid, IB here, was something that was imposed on top of that. So everything that was measured in terms of impact was an additive effect. And so the participants took three capsules a day, the placebo, the supplement. And then after 2 months, they had a washout period of a month. And then after that, they had the crossover. And if they'd been on the supplementation, they went on to the placebo and vice versa.
I see.
What they found was that, like in the cold study, there was an impact on symptoms that were recorded on a daily basis by the participants. And the most significant impact of the nucleotide supplementation was on diarrhea, abdominal pain, urgency, and feelings of incomplete evacuation. Now, all the other symptoms that were measured, then there was a total of about seven. There was a positive impact, but not statistically significant, which, as this was a supplementation over and above what they were already on, this was quite a significant impact that the product had.
So, yeah, I noticed you described the trial as being a crossover trial. I was interested in that because I'm not particularly aware of trials that work that way, where the same people take both the placebo and whatever substance is being trialed. And an interesting one, because at least you have both things with the same person. Not at the same time, obviously, yeah. but it's sounds like a good way to trial things.
Yeah, this is the typical way pharmaceutical products are tested. You have a trial group and you have a placebo group. And then you have a so-called washout period.
Yeah.
And then you turn around. And because then everybody is once the trial and everybody is once the placebo group.
Okay.
You can directly compare. And this very, when you have their good results, it's very significant. Mm.
We do feel that it might have actually reduced the impact of our supplementation, because what we found in the research that was done with farm animals was that they were able to show that the farm animals had a better gut lining, so that the villi were longer and there was a greater surface area of the gut. And so if the nucleotide supplement had helped the gut surface area and integrity, then with a washout period, obviously it helps to eliminate any of the effect when you do the crossover. But if you've got a better working gut lining, then it would have helped the placebo as well.
I see what you're saying. You kind of you prepared them to be in a better condition, ready for the next part of the trial. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right. They're never simple trials. They're never straightforward, are they?
They're never straightforward. It's there's never a perfect way, but you can.
But even though it's such a sort of grey area with so many variables, people talk about evidence as though it's a black and white on-off situation where there is evidence, there isn't evidence, which, of course, it's almost never the case that it's as cut and dried as that.
Yeah, there's so many variables. I mean, the problem with working with humans is that everybody's diet's different as well.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
And the other thing is, and we were really lucky with the IBS trial, because the professor had taken on a research assistant who was fantastic, because she rang all the participants every day to have a chat and just to make sure that they were taking the supplement.
Great.
Or the placebo. So
yeah.
It was one of the problems with doing trials is compliance.
Yeah,
compliance is really a big problem, yeah.
Absolutely. All right, well, look, we're getting to the end of time. Is there anything else on the science side?
There is a lot of trials done in animal, which Rachel mentioned there are animal trials are normally more precise, but this would go much too long to explain everything. But
I understand.
For example, here they have also done... We have done a lot of trials in direction of the immune system and immune improvement in combination, for example, with vaccines.
Right. Maybe I could just make a little summary. I'm always looking at things, obviously, from the point of view of people with cancer. Now, obviously, this is, as you said, you've made been very clear about the fact this is not a treatment for cancer, and you're not making any claims in that direction. And even you haven't done particularly trials with cancer. So it's in no way is it something that's kind of proven to be useful for people with cancer, but by inference it's doing things which directly support people's immune systems, which
exactly.
A, the immune system is the problem when people have cancer, and B, if they're going through cancer treatment, it's further under attack, the immune system. So there's a lot of case for saying that it could be helpful to people either in prevention or in managing treatment and care. Is that a fair summary, do you think, of where we're at with nucleotides and cancer?
Yeah, this is exactly what we how we describe our product also. Yeah, it has a huge potential, and I'm quite sure that in the near future we will find even more evidence. But at the moment we are not a cancer treatment, but we are very important for first of all prevention, but also afterwards for curing the side effects.
Right.
In the end, it's important to say that nucleotides are a lovely nutrient, and these ones have all been extracted from a food-grade yeast cell and purified, so they're from a food source.
Right.
That they're actually helping the body to do what it wants to do or what it's designed to do. It's not asking the body to work in a different way. Mm. So it's either supplementing what the body is finding difficult to get from the diet, or it's providing more of something which is very readily absorbable for those who need additional amounts because of the stresses that they're under.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's very clear. Okay, well, good. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very interesting subject. Do you have any plans to investigate directly how it can be used in cancer treatment?
Yeah, we have some plans, but this is really in the far future because this kind of study needs a lot of investments. At the moment, we are not really in the place where we can really do this investment ourselves.
Okay. All right. Well, look, I think we'll have to leave it there. Many thanks to you both, Peter and Rachel. It's, as I say, I think it's a really interesting topic and one I suspect we'll probably be hearing more about in relation to cancer in the coming months and years. I certainly hope so.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Now I'm going to finish today's show by adding a short interview with the Scientific Director of the Alliance for Natural Health, Rob Verkirk, who has been closely involved in the development of nucleotide supplements. I met up with Rob at the Alliance for Natural Health offices in Dorking.
Hi Rob, great to speak to you again.
Great to speak to you too, as always, Robin.
And it's great to have your view of nucleotides. I understand you've been a consultant on the project to develop them, to bring them to market.
Yes, now I've worked for some time with nucleotide nutrition, with the manufacturers in Switzerland, helping them to develop dossiers for EFSA and get them approved both for animal feed and also for human use.
Right. Certainly from my point of view, these have appeared out of nowhere. I never heard of them before a few weeks back, so when you gave me some. Can you tell us a bit about why they suddenly appeared and why doesn't anybody know about them already?
Well, first thing that people think is they must have radiation in them, you know, nuclear.
Yeah, they just sound a bit.
So, you know, are they a new nutritional group? No. The reality is they're probably one of the most primordial nutrients that life has ever dealt with. They are effectively the building blocks of DNA. So without them, you can't build DNA. More importantly, because we've got a heck of a sight more RNA in our cells than we have DNA, we can't build RNA. And we basically have, have always understood that somehow our bodies need to create these structures since Watson and Crick revealed the double helix, and we understood more about what makes up our genes and our chromosomes. The bottom line is we've always thought that we can actually produce enough of it ourselves from building blocks within the body. And it was really in about the 70s and the 80s that things started to change, where we begun to realize that actually babies, young infants, have a very specific need. And you may remember back in the 60s, you're just old enough for that, of course. Back in the 60s, there was big campaigns from the infant formula companies to market infant formula into Africa. I was actually a victim of those campaigns, being born and brought up in East Africa, and didn't get breastfed for long at all because my mum thought that bottle feeding was the way to go. By the time we'd reached the 70s and certainly by the early 80s, it was recognised actually there's a whole bunch of things that are missing from infant formulae that we actually need to add to infant formula. So it became compulsory to add nucleotides. So for most people in the nutritional sphere, if they know about them, they will know about their use in infant formulae. Of course, what we still miss out on, there are a bunch of other immunological factors in breast milk, and of course it's such an intelligent system that it actually ebbs and flows with the needs of the child according to time. You know, some mums think, oh, my breast milk's getting a bit watery, but actually that's often for very good reasons. Bottom line is we then started to think of them as being conditionally essential nutrients, with the condition being limited really to young infants. There then was some work on transplant patients. There was then some work specifically looking at dysentery in kids in Africa, where their immune systems are under massive stress. It seems the body can't produce enough of it, and we've got two ways of producing it internally. Either we produce new nucleotides, building blocks for new DNA and RNA, or we use a salvage pathway where we take remnants of existing RNA and DNA and recycle them and produce new stuff. What we now understand absolutely is that there is a third pathway, which is dietary pathway. And that's, right, of course, the bit that we're filling here as supplements. And then when we look at our food supply, we see a whole bunch of interesting things that actually, in a traditional diet, there are really important sources of nucleotides. So you know the old adage, well, you may have heard that it's a folklore that if you're getting a bit sick, you should have some broth, some bone broths.
Yeah.
Now, bone broths and offal meats are among the richest sources of nucleotides. And if you slow cook them, you break it all down and it makes it very easy to take. And since the BSE crisis, we have been removing offal like you wouldn't believe from our from the food supply. You know, most people buy meat that's already cut away from the bone, packaged up in polystyrene and plastic, and forgetting what it does. The other thing is, if you look at fermented foods, so if you look particularly at fermented soy products traditionally made, the misos, the tempehs, the nattos of this world, they're also incredibly rich. Fewer and fewer people are eating fermented foods. So there's been a big, big decline in the amount of dietary nucleotides that we're eating in our diets.
That's except for the Western Price Foundation fans, of course.
Of course, of course.
Packing them down.
Yes.
Yeah. You're beginning to see them coming up now as supplements that you could actually add to your diet. Where do you think they're going to go in terms of, you know, who's going to be using these? Are these for the man in the street, or are these for particular conditions?
Well, the interesting thing is we're seeing a dual-pronged problem. One is our natural diets now have a lower level of nucleotides in them than at any stage in our evolutionary history. And secondly, we appear to be under much more stress than we've been at any time. And that stress comes in so many different ways. It can come from immunological stress, because we're not looking after our immune systems properly, so we're being challenged a lot. It can come from psychosocial stress, the kind of stress we have in our families or in our work environments. But it also can come from being a competitive athlete. So, and probably one of the most important areas is that we suffer a lot of problems with gastrointestinal stress because our GI systems are having so much trouble dealing with the kind of modern diets that so many of us eat. Now, if we look at the rate of cellular turnover in our bodies, it's very, very different in different parts of our body. So our gut has about a turnover rate of one cell every 2 days, a brain cell maybe one every 8 years. So if we can't keep up with the production system that our gut has, because we don't have enough raw materials to produce new gut cells. And let's not forget, it's not just the new gut cells in our intestinal lumen, it's also the 2 to 10 trillion or so microbes in the gut that are massively reproducing and replicating, that need building blocks themselves. So one of the reasons that what we're looking at, most of the trials that we and Rachel and Peter's group have been directly involved in, have been looking at two discrete groups of people, either those who have GI problems, particularly things like IBS, and the other group are athletes, so competitive athletes who put their bodies under tremendous stress as well. And in both groups, we're seeing a really dramatic improvement. I myself have found it is the most important thing I can do to stabilize. I'm a keen endurance cyclist, as you know.
I do.
And, you know, if I don't take nucleotides, then I go on an absolute balls-out ride of, you know, 100, 150, 200 miles, I will get a cold sore. My immune system cannot manage that herpes simplex virus. If I make sure I dose up with nucleotides before the event and then after, I've done this about 20 times on and off, so it might be N equals one.
Yeah.
But it's guaranteed will keep my immune system stable.
Very interesting. Okay, I think that's all we've got time for, but it's really brilliant to have your experience added on to the end there. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Robin.
Well, I hope that after listening to Peter, Rachel and Rob, you'll agree that nucleotide supplements are an interesting development that warrant the attention of the integrative medicine community, scientists, doctors, practitioners, and of course, those with cancer. You can find resources for material related to today's show on the Yes to Life website, yestolife.org.uk, choose Media Centre in the left-hand side bar, and then UK Health Radio. Don't forget to keep an eye on the show, on the charity Yes to Life, and on me, Robin Daly, on social media. I just want to remind you again about some of the events coming up over the autumn for the charity Yes to Life. Firstly, we're at CAM Expo on the 24th and the 25th of September. Do come and see us at our stand. And make sure you're there on the Saturday for our keynote seminar, which is going to feature oncologist Professor Robert Thomas and nutritionist Liz Butler. On Tuesday, the 27th of September in East London, there's going to be a workshop called Get Moving with Liz Davies. On Saturday the 15th of October in Bristol, there will be an Outsmart Cancer Cookery class with Jenny Phillips and Geraldine Curran. And finally, on the 19th of November in central London, there's going to be our major annual seminar, Cancer as a Metabolic Epigenetic Disease, which is going to feature international speakers. I hope you'll be able to join us at some of these events. Next week, something a little different, I shall be talking to a documentary maker, Tom Meadmore, about a hard-hitting documentary he is working on that's going to dig deep into the controversies surrounding cancer treatment in the UK. Please join me again. Goodbye.